Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena, Lara.
Morena.
Kei te pihia koe?
Oh, kei te nina. I'm ready to go back to bed. I'm ready for Christmas. It's not long now, though.
Ready for Christmas already? You're not supposed to start talking about Christmas until after Halloween, Lara.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But that's like this week, right? So we're good. We're good to go. Cause obviously, and then I can't believe it's an election year next year.
That's, I know.
Like, it's all happening too fast.
Not again.
I know. That seemed to come around really fast.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we are voting on a 4-year term this next election, by the sounds of things. So that's going to be a whole other issue we have to think about and talk about in the future.
Lots to unpack, but I think today we're going to talk about this capital gains tax policy from Labor, which was leaked. So a bit of drama this week, eh?
Yeah, definitely. And there's that, and there's the Te Pāti Māori drama as well. But the moment anyone's leaking in a party, they can point to a few problems.
Shall we start with talking about the policy and maybe sort of unpacking what it entails? Can you give us like a crash course on what the policy is?
Well, we like a bit of policy rather than a bit of drama because it helps to think positively about the future and hopeful and think about, hey, what would our country look like if, say, we did have a Labor government or a left-wing bloc government? So one of the worst-kept secrets over the last few months, 6 months, year, longer, has been Labor wanting to have capital gains tax or make changes to the tax system. Basically, under the Ardern government, like Robertson's written about it, Ardern has written about it, even with that giant mandate in 2020, they felt like they didn't have a mandate for a capital gains tax. And earlier than that, New Zealand First blocked it. So Labor kind of have maybe a freer run going forward to institute some kind of capital gains tax. And so we finally saw that in a fairly spectacular fashion. I think it was like a 5 a.m. press release due to the leaking. 5 a.m. press release saying that, you know, they would put a capital gains tax on. It would not apply. So basically what happens is, you know, say you buy a house, an investment property, and depreciates in value, you gain $100,000 when you sell it, like a couple of years later, 2 years later, whatever it is, you would then pay, I think it was 28% tax on that profit, so you'd $28,000. So you would only pay if the gain was realized, i.e. you sold the asset, i.e. you made the money was in your bank account, and so that's what this is. Not on farms, not on the family home, only on those people who own multiple properties. And again, the property has gained money. It's not like a family batch or something along those lines. You're not paying like a wealth tax where you've got to pay a percentage every year or anything. It's only when you've actually gained the money. If you lost money, you wouldn't have to pay.
Okay.
So that's what they've put in place. But the clever thing here, and this is what I think is quite clever, is because the capital gains tax overall, they really had to say, okay, it's going to be this much money, we think, and we're going to use it for this. And they've made it really concrete. So what's going to happen is we'll get a little Medicaid card, just like they have in Australia, and all of us will get free, I can't say free and free differently, but free times free, free as in free of charge, medical visits, you know, doctor's visits each year, which, you know, for people, doctor's visits, everything from $30 to 100 and something out there in the world now.
Yeah.
So people get a concrete benefit in this little card that goes in their wallet or wherever. The people have wallets anymore, goes in their phone case, and then they can use it, and then they get a concrete gain from the richer people having to pay for the money.
Right. Okay. Am I right in thinking that we're one of the few countries in the OECD that doesn't currently have a capital gains tax?
Yep, fundamentally, that's correct. So that's been something that I think a lot of people find very strange about New Zealand and our housing market. One of my favourite jokes is that we're a housing market with an economy tacked on. That's what the economists have said about us, because house prices are so important to everything in our economic well-being and our well-being of our economy and how people feel and perceive the economy. So that's basically it. Like, this idea that with this is that maybe it slows down house prices a bit. So various economists have been commentating on this in the last few days, saying, well, actually, maybe it might make rentals more expensive. Who knows what it will do? But I think that's another benefit that people want, is they want house prices to go down, which they have, but be stable. And, of course, that's really politically hard, because you're then balancing that with actually people who are a lot of my friends who managed to buy a house at the top of the market and now their houses aren't worth as much.
So
people you have to feel for a bit, and the price is coming down. But overall, it's been a real political hot potato in terms of political leaders saying, do you want house prices to come down? Because the moment they say yes, that means that they're throwing some people in it. And that's been a really hard thing. And I think Luxon's been maybe less afraid to say, yeah, I want house prices to come down. Mm-hmm. But in this case, Hipkins and Labor, what they're doing is hoping that will also be the case as part of this capital gains tax.
Mm. I mean, since they announced, the national ministers have come out with pretty scathing responses. Nicola Willis says it's a terrible idea. Christopher Luxon says that it's a tax on every single business in New Zealand. What do you make of the sort of national stance on a capital gains tax?
Yeah, and I think Seymour was saying it's tall poppy syndrome. This is what was really clever with Labor, is Labor turned around and they tied it to something that everyone gets. So what they're saying is that 9 out of 10 New Zealanders will be better off. They won't have to pay this tax and this kind of thing. So that was a really, I think, smart thing for Labor to tie it to something concrete, because now I've already seen them kind of say, well, Luxon would have made $600,000 last year of selling houses, so they can kind of tie it to that idea that National are out of touch with the so-called cost of living crisis, out of touch with everyday New Zealanders. So that's what they're working on there. National, I was expecting maybe, I don't know, a clear argument there, but I think that they did get a bit stumped by the tying it to the house, you know, actually having a concrete plan. And you know what? Now they've got a year or so to think about what their arguments are against it. It's going to be a hard one for them, really, to fight when it is tied to people getting healthcare. That's going to be tricky. I honestly don't have any advice for them. No idea what I would do if I were them.
I know. It's sort of like quite a shock that Labor's got such concrete policy at this point. I feel like this hardly ever happens with Labor.
Look, we've all been criticising them quite a bit, and like, look, they're doing it. I mean, there have been criticisms of this particular policy as well. So the Greens wanted to institute a wealth tax, which is more like, say you have millions and millions of dollars of assets, which I was quite shocked. It's like 48,000 New Zealanders have more than $10 million in assets.
But
those people, like that was their wealth study that David Parker did. I was shocked reading it the other day again. I was like, oh, that's a lot of people. So those people would have to pay, or people with millions and millions of dollars would have to pay a percentage each year. And that gets really messy in the arguments for and against it, because people say, oh, what about retirees and all this kind of thing? You know, and it's like the gain, there's not necessarily, the gain's not realised in the way it is a capital gain, where there's money in the account, et cetera, et cetera. So the Greens want something along those lines, and they released their own budget. It was about a year back now, and they wanted to link that to dental, so this next step again. So there's been criticism of this from the left, hey, this isn't enough of a policy, this isn't enough of a change. And that's widely what we would have expected. And then, of course, the other element in all of this is that, you know, we have an MMP environment, governments have to form kind of coalitions, confidence and supply agreements. And there's this idea that the right are going to use and try and use, I guess, this is probably going to be their one thing they do, to try to say, well, the Greens want to tax more and give dental, which, again, I'm not sure whether people are kind of like, oh, actually, oh, do tax the rich, I do want dental. You know, so it's kind of, I'm not sure what that argument will be.
Dental would be nice.
Around the election,
I wouldn't complain.
It's expensive.
Oh, and my God, yeah.
It's like that balance of that argument of, hey, do you think that people, that 50,000 people who have got all their money, that they should have to pay more and you get the dental? And then it's going to be a bit, hey, do people in the middle think that's fair? That's going to be the big question. But Labor are quite staunch saying, hey, this is our only tax thing that will change. We'll see.
Okay. I'd like to touch a little bit on the leak, because Chris Hipkins has, since the leak, said that if they find out who it is, and that they did it deliberately, they'll no longer be a member of the Labor Party. So they're taking a pretty staunch stance on this, eh?
Yep, and it's smart. They want to look like they've got the team in order. So politics is a couple of things, right? Politics is about policy, ideally. You know, that's positive. That's all we'd like. The other thing about politics is, like, you know, the person who's the prime minister is the prime minister. So, like, they're in a cabinet of ministers, and they're the prime one, they're the main one. And so they've got this group, they've got this team of 20-odd people that they have to contain, they have to be in charge of them. And we want them to be a sound manager of people and a sound manager of, say, like, a crisis, like COVID-19 or the Party White Island or, you know, the Christchurch terrorist attack. We want our prime minister to be able to manage people and kind of get them into line. And we've seen that Luxon actually managed to turn National's fortunes around and get them all into line, which, you know, kudos to him, because that party was a mess after Judith Collins and, you know, Todd Muller and all that drama. So this is part of politics. And so Hipkins is trying to also say, hey, look, I'm going to be that strong guy too that, you know, makes sure everyone's got themselves in order and isn't leaking and is falling in behind. So that's what he's trying to do to make it look like I'm a no-nonsense guy too. I'm going to make them do little performance reports, whatever. Yeah, whatever. He's trying to look like he'll be a good leader, a good manager, which, so it's sensible for him to at least say that at this point. Although actually, in practice, finding out who leaked can be really hard. And it would suck for them as well if that then turned into a whole bunch of drama because it's, you know, it's someone well known, or then that could be dramatic. So hopefully they sort that out for themselves.
The splash this week.
Yeah. Do leaks happen quite often? And are we always seeing like an increase with, you know, the age of social media, et cetera?
Well, they do happen quite a lot. I mean, basically we saw a lot of it happen, under the last Labor ruptures. And we see political parties will be winning, they'll be doing fine, there might be some stuff happening, and then they lose. And so that's really the moment that you have to look at the political party and go, have they got it all together? We've seen quite a short, like, people sour on the former Labor government, this national government, and probably this next Labor government quite quickly compared to previous times where it was like, oh, people, they'll be in for 9 years, 3 terms, whatever. People are souring quite quickly. So we've seen this kind of change to the cycle where it's like the parties have to get themselves together quite quickly because they've got a possibility of winning again. So generally, over the years, we have seen parties kind of fall apart with leaks, with internal division. They're normally a symptom of factions or groups within the party disagreeing with a policy. Yeah. In this case, reporting, including there was a piece by Tova O'Brien, was talking about, you know, the fact that there's some people who don't support the capital gains tax within Labor. So normally it's a faction within a political party, and it's a symptom of them maybe having wider problems and issues with disunity and just not really functioning well.
Wow, diagnosed. Potentially.
Yeah, who knows really?
Yeah, I mean, you'd never see the real inside, but take a crack
at it. It's fascinating, the inner politics of politics.
Yeah.
It's a workplace at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Drama.
We've had a text come through asking your thoughts on whether the capital gains tax policy from Labor that they're proposing will end up squeezing the middle more over a few free GP visits.
It's really hard to know that because it's like, you know, I think in terms of the middle, we have this idea that there's people in the middle that, like, they call them mum and dad investors, which is, you know, very hetero. There's this idea that these mum and dad investors in the middle that do buy, a rental property, and that is part of their retirement investment. Yeah. Yes, that could mean that they're squeezed in terms of now if they've got one and they sell it. The idea is that they're trying to, a lot of the people who are into this kind of more into economics would say, hey, we're trying to get those people in the middle to diversify their portfolios, to get some stocks, some bonds, some probably not crypto, but, you know, diversify what they're investing in.
Right.
And that's the kind of social engineering there. But actually, you know, when they've done a lot of those studies, there are people who have 40, 50, 60, 70 houses. And yeah, there are businesses with a bunch of houses. I mean, businesses pay tax on their profit. But on these gains, you know, it's like that's what they're trying to talk about, that actually if these people with these bigger portfolios, the Chris Luxons who have, what, 6, 7 houses, that they're trying to target. But I think for those people who are in the middle, who seem to be the minority of, like, rental property owners, actually, I'm trying to remember some of the studies on that, I think that they will be a bit squeezed, and that might be something that they try to target. But in reality, I think a lot of economists would say, you know, we should be putting money into things that kind of create value for the economy. So investing in, I don't know, Rocket Lab or whatever. I'm not an economist, but, you know, investing in diverse different types of assets.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fascinating. We're just about running out of time, but thank you so much, Lara. We always learn so much, and we're intrigued to see how things progress with Labor's policy and National's reaction.
Kia ora, it's all in the sails, isn't it?
Very good. Yeah. You have an awesome rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next weekie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lara. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.